Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Social Ninjas Podcast, where your hosts, Kyle and Jeremy, have vulnerable conversations with the most successful entrepreneurs in the world to learn how they created and maintained an optimal mental health while building a thriving business. If you are an entrepreneur in the early stages of building your business who wants to learn techniques, tips, and tricks to improve your mental health to keep you and your business running smoothly, you're in the right spot. Quick disclaimer before starting the show. Kyle, Jeremy, and the guests they bring on the show are not health professionals, and what they say should not be used in place of or replacement of medication or your doctor. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to the Social Ninjas Podcast. We are glad that you stopped by with us today. I am your host, Kyle. Join with me, as always, my co-host, Jeremy. What is up, Jeremy? Hey
everybody, let's do this. I'm really excited for our guest today.
Yes, speaking of our guest, her name is Ravina. And I'm sorry, I usually ask if I'm pronouncing the name beforehand, but I'm going to be vulnerable right now and ask you, is that the correct way we pronounce your name?
That is perfect.
Yes. All right. Didn't even have to say all that. So for those who don't know who you are, can you give us a little bio and kind of background on you and your story?
Sure. First of all, thank you guys for having me on your podcast. I'm super excited to be here. And I think what you guys are doing is awesome. And talking about myself, I am from India originally. I studied engineering for my undergrad. Then I did like a 1 year certification in dance. And then I moved to the US. I studied my master's in marketing analytics in Boston. And now I work as a digital analyst for an agency.
Nice. So when I was listening to your TEDx talk earlier, I guess if I remember right, your family was a bunch of people who were engineers, and that's what they kind of did, and you kind of felt pressured to get into that, but then you kind of switched out of that. Can you tell us kind of the story, the journey of that?
Yeah, so that's correct. Like most of my family, my brother, my father, cousins, everyone is like an engineer. And yes, I did feel pressure at the time, but also I wasn't even exposed to a lot of other career that I could take upon and career options I could take upon. So it was like, I mean, I did try to like speak to my parents, but at the moment, I was super mad at my parents. I was like, no, just because you guys did it, you can't ask me to do it too. But now, you know, obviously, I was like 18 at the time. Now that I've grown up, and in hindsight, I feel like, you know, that's the best they had seen in their life. And, you know, parents were just being parents, and they just wanted the best for me. And that's why, you know, they thought that engineering would give me like a very secure career, and that's the only reason, like they had no other bad intention for me, for my future. So yeah, so I did take up engineering, and also at the time I did not have that I would say the strength or even the understanding of like being more rebellious or you know, saying that no, I want to do something else, because I wasn't even sure what else did I want to do. So I thought, okay, maybe this, if everyone's doing it and everyone's happy in their life, maybe that's the thing for me. And so I went ahead and I absolutely hated it. I think it was just not meant for me. And but I spoke to my parents about it, and my parents were very comforting at that time. And they said that, okay, if you want to quit, you could quit. But I just like, I don't like to quit, basically. I'm like, I'm not gonna, and it had already been 2 years into engineering. And I won't say I was like performing brilliantly in undergrad, but I just did not want to be a quitter. And I said, no, I'm gonna finish this. I've taken something on my plate. I'm gonna finish it. And I think during that journey, then I found like, I have always been passionate about dancing. So I started giving more time to my dance, And I started taking up some like business management and business marketing courses. And then that's, you know, that's what gave me more direction on what I wanted to do after engineering.
Beautiful. My question to you is, someone that is on a certain journey or a certain path in their career life, and it doesn't feel right, but they're just doing it because other people kind of are pressuring them to do it, what would your advice to them be?
I mean, I understand what it is to be in that situation, and it's definitely not easy. But I think if you're being pressurized, number one is to understand that, okay, why is it that they are doing, why are you being pressurized, and understanding the reasoning behind it. Like in my case, now I understand that my parents were only asking me to do it because they thought that was the best career option for me. And that's the best that they had seen in their life. So understanding the true reason behind that. And if not, then communication is the key. Like communicating why you don't want to do it, and why you think that whatever you're being pressurized for is not the best option for you. I think, as I said, like communication is the key, and you just have to let the other person know that how that is going to ruin your mental health to a certain extent if you fall into that pressure.
What I see is a root word you're saying is communication.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like in my observation, a lot of people have certain things that they like or what they want to do with their life and how they want to live their life. And they just don't communicate it because is it possible they just have a guilt because they have a different way of looking at the world? Or what would you think? What would you say?
That is true. And I myself have been in that situation. At that time, I did not communicate well to my parents. And I was just, in my head, I was just being mad at my parents that they asked me to do engineering and now I've landed in a place, in a position where I don't want to be. And I did not do a great job at communication in the first place. But that's something that I learned over time. Secondly, I feel today, especially like given the influence of social media that we have on our lives, we are just so, ideally, social media should open our thoughts even more, but then we see someone else's journey and then we think that that's the only path that can be followed to success. But that's definitely not the case. Like when I went to study my master's, there were people who studied, business, like business studies or marketing, even for their undergrad, they had their work experience in the same area, and then they came for their masters, and that was amazing, worked amazingly for them. For me, it was not like that. I had no practical experience on what I was studying, and I was very intimidated in like the first few months. I'm like, I'm the only one in the class who has to put 1,000 more hours to understand the same thing that everyone can understand immediately. But then eventually I realized that I could be intimidated by these people, or I could just learn from their experiences. Whatever they contribute in the classroom, that could be an additional learning for me. And probably I could avoid making the same mistakes that they made through their stories. So I think it's just how you see it, making sure that, understanding just one thing, that everyone in the world does not need to have the same journey. You can just create your own journey, and it could take a longer period than someone else's, but then at the end of the day, you want to see at the end goal.
Yeah, I like that. And you talked about that in your talk as well, about how, you felt so, I guess at a disadvantage because everyone else had all this experience, and you said it took you a few months to be able to kind of get through that. So what was that process like? So, I mean, how did you get to that point of kind of like reframing the situation and saying, okay, I can use this for my own good, and I can, work from their mistakes, and so I don't have to make them again? Cause like, that's a hard thing to do, honestly, because we want to like focus on like, well, they got all this work time, and you were able to transition to say, okay, I'm going to use that to my advantage. So how do you go about doing that?
I think number one mistake that I used to do in my past was that not acknowledging the problem to its core. Not like I would just be like, oh, everyone, like, fine, it's just tough for me. And I would just like run away from the problem or just be sad about it and keep cribbing about it. But I think as you grow, you want to, I think what I've learned over time is that you want to make the best out of what you have. Like, one thing that I've learned is that there's never a right time, because the right time does not exist. It's what you make out of it. And that's what, so I, you know, I read this beautiful thing the other day, like, you know, there's someone who wants a cake. And you, so he doesn't get a cake, but he gets the flour, he gets the salt, he gets the sugar, he gets the chocolate and all the ingredients for the cake. But he just walks off because he did not get a cake. So for me, I had all the ingredients, I feel. And I just, I think it was a moment where I just like kept being sad. But it was a realization moment for me eventually that if I have all these ingredients, it actually depends on me how I make the best out of it.
I like that.
I love it. Oh, real quick, I just want to say, the thing that was crazy to me is second time being on stage was on a TEDx stage. How did that come about? How did your journey to get on the TEDx stage come about?
Honestly, TEDx, being a TEDx speaker was never on my list, never. And I mean, you always look at these TEDx or TED Talks on YouTube and you just feel like, oh, these are some extraordinary people who've done great things and only they can be TEDx speaker. And that's all you think about it. So since I was a kid, I've always been this person who really wants to try my hands on different things and, you know, keep exploring. I really believe that, you know, the more challenges you take in life and you try your hands on different things, you grow as a person. It's never too late to find a new skill in you or to develop a new skill. So it was my last semester of my master's, and I just got an email that there's a public speaking competition in my university, and I was like, okay, never done this before. I'm just gonna go for it. So I was extremely nervous that day because I wasn't really scared of being on the stage because I had been on the stage since I was a kid, but that was only for dancing, and that was about it. But I was like, okay, I'm going to take this challenge. I was very nervous also because, not just because I was doing something new, but also because I was sharing something very personal about my journey, which is not easy. So I took up on this challenge, and luckily I won the public speaking competition. And then that's how they saw me. And then I was asked to represent the graduate school of Bentley University at the TEDx event that year. So honestly, TEDx just happened. And that's why, you know, as I said, like, keep trying new things and you never know what may come up. I wouldn't have participated in the competition. I would have not landed on the TEDx speech, and probably I wouldn't have met you awesome guys.
Thank you.
We're awesome, Kyle. We're awesome.
Of course you are.
So I'm just amazed. So you said you like to, you know, take on new challenges. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's really cool. I think I feel like I like to do that as well. But I mean, the fact that you went and you did a public speaking competition, and that was your first thing, was doing your first public speech was doing in a competition, and then you win. Like, wow, that's crazy, incredible. Like, man, that's seriously inspirational to me. Like, okay, I need to, like, when, because we hear that fear, and like, I tend to like push it away for a while, and then like 6 months later I might do it. Like, you just like went out and did it and ended up becoming something, you know, awesome. You got to, you know, do a TEDx, and as your second speech, Man, I'm just blown away by that. So that's really cool. I hope people really hear what you're saying and, you know, take that to heart.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I had a question. How was your mental health as far as dealing with the pressures of this speech or FedEx? How did you deal with that?
So I don't know what I feel that today, again, because of social media, like everyone on social media just wants to show their best versions, right? We want to post our best pictures and talk about the greatest meals that you have. You don't want to put a picture on the day you're just having a peanut butter sandwich for dinner. But the day you go out and have a fancy dinner, everything's on Instagram and Facebook and all over the social media. This I think what was more challenging for me was that I was actually talking about all the different challenges that I was facing in my life and how I was getting over it. So basically it was exactly opposite of what you do on a regular basis on any social media platform. I was talking about the worst days of my life and the worst phases of my life. But after the talk was done and when there were more people who came out and, you know, they spoke to me, some of them were master's students, some of them were from undergrad, which were like even younger. And they said that they are or they were going through the same phase or a similar phase. And they were sort of lost on what to do next in life. I think that's what I liked or what I enjoyed is that speaking to those people and then just understanding that, okay, I am not alone in this. And there are so many other people. And it's like, I think it's a great way to, you know, be able to communicate with those people and sort of possibly helping out each other. So I think that's something that I really like it was amazing meeting those people backstage after the talk and talking to them how this talk made them feel. Like, just because they are lost right now does not mean that they are not going to be able to figure out what they want to do next.
That really resonates with me a lot, because I have it where I think I have to do everything on my own, and if I ask for help I'm weak. But it's like the opposite. I'm actually doing a disservice by not asking for help, because a lot of times when someone helps me, they feel good about themselves. So I was like this disconnect, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I still go through that. I still go through times where I don't feel like reaching out. I just want to be on my own. No one cares to help me out. You know, it goes. But I love that like dynamic of being vulnerable, as we've talked about in previous guests, that like being vulnerable is the best way to build a connection.
Of course. And I think, I feel like a lot of people today think that being vulnerable is a bad thing. But I really don't think that it is. If you have because to be a vulnerable person, the first thing that you're doing is you're accepting your flaws, which is if you've accepted the fault or the mistake, half your work is done. If you know what's going wrong, you know what to work on. But if you're not even aware about it, that means you are going to be, just for the lack of word, keep doing the wrong thing, or just, you know, not keep growing or keep improving as a personal. It could be professionally or personally.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm taking notes. That is fantastic. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, I relate in a sense, and the being vulnerable part is like, yeah, that's how you connect with people. And not only is it doing it to service others, but and yourself, but it gives you the opportunity for other people feeling the same thing as you to be like, oh, okay, I'm not the only person struggling with that problem. So I know I received a lot of that when I started the Social Anxiety Kyle Instagram, kind of, you know, started sharing my story, and I got a lot of reach out saying, okay, I did that too. I didn't realize I was the only person, you know, that felt that way. So yeah, I think being vulnerable is such a underrated tool, but it's such a powerful one.
Yeah. And also, I think the days when you are vulnerable, it also makes you realize about who are the people who really matter to you, because those are the people who are actually going to be there for you in those weak moments without making any negative comment about you being weak or vulnerable at that moment.
I love that. I love what you said about like not seeing who your true friends are. Other people are just pretending, kind of be your friend because they want to be liked by everyone. I know that one. Actually, my last Instagram post was about that. I went to some group meeting and I shared some vulnerable stuff. And yeah, some people looked at me like, this guy's weird, I don't know about him. But like a very small select few of people respected me and reached out to me and had a great connection with. This, I'm not gonna lie, it was scary because accepting that not everyone is gonna like me, which is great. It's not as exciting when everyone likes me.
Yeah, so I have a question. So how did you, because you said you went from engineering and then you said you found your passion, which was to dance. How did that come about?
I mean, I have been dancing like since I was a kid, but I even mentioned about this in the TEDx speech that my father had a job which just moved from like city to city very often. So it was very difficult for me to like be able to stick to one dance school and, you know, have like a professional training. But my mom, you know, she knew how much I love dancing. So she made sure that every city I went to, I get some training, and at least once in a week, I go out and train. And I used to perform at the annual functions at the school and all of that. So I always had that passion. It's been my number one hobby since I was a kid. So while I used to attend a lot of these workshops during engineering as well. And that's when I learned about this 1 year certification program. And one of my instructors, he came to me and he said that, hey, like, I feel like you should audition for it and you're good. Even when he said that, I was like, no, I mean, I know I'm a good dancer, but I don't think I'm like so good that I would be selected for the program. And but he really like motivated me, and I was like, okay, there's no harm in trying. And also at that point, I had no idea what I was going to do next after engineering anyway. So I knew that at that time, like that was my only chance to make up for all the training that I couldn't have as a kid. And luckily my parents, my brother, they were very supportive, and I went for the auditions and I got selected, which was, again, you know, it was just like TEDx. I did not think that I was going to make it, but it so happened, and it was amazing because only like 60 to 70 dancers get selected from all over the country, which is intense. And like there are thousands of dancers who come from all over the country to audition. So yeah, I think it was just something that I really wanted to do. I had no idea that I thought I was capable of doing it, but I gave it a shot, and luckily I made it.
Hello, this is Kyle Mitchell here, aka Social Anxiety Kyle. And I just wanted to ask you a quick question. Did you know that 46% of teens have shown signs of a new or a worsening mental health condition since the start of the pandemic? This is a silent pandemic that needs a louder voice. I'm talking about the mental health of teens in schools. And if you want to help with this pandemic, I have just recently started a new mission where I'm focusing on helping 1 million teens go from socially anxious to socially confident. Now, if you want to help me with this mission, I am speaking in schools all across the country. So if you would like me to come speak at your school or your child's school or your niece or nephew, grandchild's school, go to my website, socialanxietykyle.com, or reach out to me on Instagram and let's talk. Let's figure out how to make this happen.
Wow, that seems to be the theme. You give things a shot and things just, the awesome things come out of it. That's cool.
I mean, that's the best you can do, right? Like,
yeah.
Lemon, you make lemonades, or or you don't. So
I have a question as far as what is underneath, like I know this theme going on. Have you just challenging yourself just because you don't want to finish, you want to finish what's on your plate and you just really want to accomplish things? What is underneath this drive to take on these, in my opinion, intimidating challenges?
So I really believe that, I'm not the kind of person who wants to be in her comfort zone, all my life. And I feel like every time you take up a challenge, you do something new, you either understand that you can do it or you cannot do it. And that's how you explore yourself. And that's how, like, there's so many of us who think that, and I still think, and I used to think a lot, that I don't know who I am. I don't know myself. I don't know what I'm capable of. But the only way to know what you're capable of is by trying things. And I feel, for me, I look at it as personal growth. I look at it as not something that is just one skill. But for me, when I say I've tried something new, I also want to see how I can incorporate that in my personal life, in my professional life. So I can stick to my learnings from dance to just the dance studio, but I don't want to do that. What I've learned from my dancing is to work in a team, and that really helps me in my job. I know how to work with a team. I know if I need to take a backseat at a time, I just have to. If not, and if I have to be on my toes for a longer time today just because, you know, some other dancer is injured, I can do that at my work as well. Same for your family. Like, some days you just have to take your dad, take the lead, but some days you have to be for him because he could be the weaker one. That's, from again, like, even for the TEDx talk, I think it just gives me so much more confidence that if I could go and talk on that stage about my personal life, today I'm not scared of leading a meeting at my office with my manager or people who are, you know, 10 years more senior than I am. So I just feel like every new challenge you take, it does not have to be confined to just that one challenge, but it really develops your personality and makes you the person that you are.
How do you, and maybe you don't have these thoughts at all, I'd like to ask. So I know myself, like, coming up with a challenge, my brain will start having thoughts like, well, what if, you know, this happens, you know, fill in the blank, you know, for example, for the TEDx, you know, what if you forgot what you were saying, you started stuttering? So how do you keep your mind clear of those thoughts when you're taking on these new challenges?
Now I think for me, step one is just understanding that there is 100% probability of that happening. Like, even before we started talking, I was like, I don't know what are they going to ask me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer those questions. Am I supposed to give ideal answers? So number one is just understanding that, okay, there is 100% probability of that happening. So, but it could happen to anyone. So just because one thing that I have been doing in the past, and I still tend to do, is underestimate yourself. So just because I make a blunder or I make a mistake or I fumble, it should not define you. Like, the what I'm trying to say here is that just learning from that is the key. Like, for example, at the time I might think that this is the best answer I'm giving, but maybe 5 years down the line I'm gonna think that that was a stupid answer, but then I'm going to learn that I'm not going to give the same answer again. Like, you know, does that, I'm not even sure if that makes sense, but the key for me is to not let a mistake define me. Just take a, you know, message and move on. It's okay to make mistakes. But what I want to do is I want to make new mistakes. I don't want to repeat the same mistake. And
the question is, what has people not learned from their mistakes?
Sorry?
What causes humans to not learn from their mistakes?
I want to say ignorance. By ignorance, I mean like, for example, if I read this thing that according to psychology, if a person has mastered a skill set A, he just thinks that he or she is extremely smart and sort of has a is a know-it-all person because you are an expert in a certain area, but that's not the case. For me, what I try to think is that, okay, this, like every day when I'm doing something new, or even if I'm doing something old, like even if, you know, for you guys, for example, you are interviewing people every day or every week, does not mean that you're not going to keep interviewing, you're not going to improve on your interviewing skills. I don't know if that's the right term. you know, you guys want to keep improving too, right? So it's just that, I think there's just ignorance at times, just not staying, not understanding that there's always room for improvement and there's always room to learn something new and take upon something new.
I love that. Love the thing that caught my attention is just kind of being realistic. Everyone's gonna make mistakes and there's no bad, as long as you're trying your best. If anything, it's a good thing if you make a mistake. Right? Like, we're so scared to make mistakes, right? It's like, let's embrace that mistake. Why do we have to label a mistake bad or good? It just is. It's part of the process. Like, what comes up for me is Kyle and I did our first webinar, and I made lots of mistakes. This was not comfortable. And I caught myself trying to, like, be hard on myself, but it's just part of the growing process. And for me, like, it's the awareness, and it's also being unrealistic with my abilities. It's almost unfair. Like, I have this belief system where, like, I'm so good at this, it's gonna be amazing the first time. If I don't do amazing the first time, something's wrong with me. And I think it's just being easy on yourself and realistic with myself is something that has helped me, and I still go through it. I go through it.
Funny you mentioned that, because so once I moved from India to Boston for my master's, I mean, you all know that master's usually takes up like your entire day and all your energy for those 2 years, and that gave me like very little time to stick to dancing. But I still like try to at least go out for a few workshops over the weekends and stuff like that. So after my master's, I wanted to start a dance YouTube channel of my own, and for the longest time I kept procrastinating about it, and I kept thinking that I've been out of touch, or I'm not good enough, and I've gained weight, I'm not going to look good, and all of that. And so I kept procrastinating for almost a year and a half, and saying that I've been out of touch. But with every passing day, I was just like more out of touch, and you know, and it actually took me like almost 1.5 to 2 years to finally start my own YouTube channel. And I was like, okay, maybe I have gained weight and maybe I have, you know, lost touch and I'm not the perfect dancer today. But the key is to just start right now and not wait for the right time and, you know, but make the best out of it. And yeah, I finally have my YouTube channel.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm still working on that. On not procrastinating and waiting for the right time. So I know we even did that with the podcast itself. We waited for a while to really just start and actually go. And we started with lots of mistakes. If you go and listen to the first few episodes, you'll see it's a lot worse than it is now. No, I'm just kidding. We're good now, but we definitely made lots of mistakes back then. So you talked about how you moved from India to Boston. What was that like? Well, I mean, that seems like it would be quite the culture shock. Or what was the experience like there?
It was not as much of a culture shock because I had traveled a little bit. It was my first time in the US, but then I had traveled to Europe and like a few other Asian countries and stuff like that. And I already had like a lot of friends who had moved to the US before I did. So I knew what I was getting myself into, sort of. Okay. But it was, for me, it was just exciting at the time because, again, it was something that I was doing something new for the first time. All my life, I was staying with my family, my parents, and it's ridiculous to say, but I've been a spoiled kid because I was like the younger one in my family and my dad completely spoiled me with, you know, with everything I wanted. So it was definitely a big challenge because I was getting out of my comfort zone, you know, moving away from my parents, which was definitely not easy. But I knew that I had to take this challenge because it was great for my personal growth as well as for my career. I knew that I wanted to come here and experience the education system here, and I wanted to be a part of it. And I just knew that that was the best for me at the time. And I definitely, like, I've had days when I was just, you know, crying myself to sleep, thinking, what have I got myself into? But then there were days when I'm like, I think I'm slaying it. So I think you just, obviously not every day is going to be perfect, but you just make the best out of it.
I love that. What comes to mind for me is just embracing those bad days and being okay with them. And also, like, with rejection we've talked about, but also failure, just changing mindset. Like, that was a really solid failure, right? And then there's sometimes where I'm in the worst of moods, and I'm trying to use my own stuff that I teach, and I'm thinking, oh gosh, I'm so grateful for this awful mood. It is creating such a beautiful, happy mood in the future.
Of course.
So what kind of challenges do you see on the horizon now? Out of curiosity.
I mean, so it's not even been a year that I graduated. So it's like so this is my new job, and every morning is like still a new challenge for me because it's been like maybe 6 or 7 months that I've joined this agency. And so yeah, definitely that's something like I'm trying to improve every day, you know, training myself, trying to grow as much as I can, and you know, hone on new skills. That's on the professional side. But for me personally, as I mentioned earlier, I finally started on my YouTube channel. So just making sure that every day, at least for an hour, I'm dancing, I'm choreographing, and I'm thinking about what video I want to put up next. Learning if the days when I don't want to dance or I feel like I'm very tired, I try to learn about video editing, because that is also something that I have to do on my own right now, because I mean, it's a new channel, you guys know how it is. So yeah, I think those are the two major challenges I feel that I have taken on me right now.
Hold on, I'm not done. What is number one on your bucket list of things that you want to do that you haven't done?
For the longest time, it was the YouTube channel that I wanted to start, and it's I've all finally started it. So I've just like picked that very recently. Like, it's just been 2 weeks. So that
was. On that note, I noticed in the biggest problem was we want to do amazing things, and once we do it, we're like, all right, that was good, let's do the next thing. So like, I want to take a second and just like honor that accomplishment.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Take that in. I invite you to take that in.
Thank you, guys.
Share the YouTube channel.
Am I supposed to do it too?
Wait, what's the YouTube channel? We're honoring you to kind of celebrate that win. Like, so what is the YouTube channel? Where can people find it?
Well, it's called Ravina Agavne. It's my full name. Yeah, that's that's where I my first video is my TEDx talk, and then I have started uploading my dance videos now.
Amazing. So I always like to ask people this question because I really like routine and like morning routine, like help me get my day started, specifically with like my mental health, be able to like take on any challenges that I have throughout the day. I'm just curious, do you follow any sort of morning routine or maybe even evening routine that you go through, that something that you do every day?
Yeah, definitely. So I have both a morning and a night routine. For my mornings, I try to wake up by 6:30, and then I exercise in the morning. That's, I feel for me, mornings work the best. And it really keeps me going throughout the day. I exercise first thing in the morning, and like to start my day with eating something good. So for me, I would like to, like, when you talk about health or fitness, I think there are two branches of it. One is the mental health and the physical health. So that's the physical health part of it. So I'm a huge foodie, but at the same time, I understand that it's very important to take care of your body. So I enjoy the days when I'm having my salads, and I enjoy the days when I'm having my chocolate cake. So that, and I think that's the best way that works for me. I don't want to completely deprive myself of the amazing desserts that the universe has for us. So that's the that's the physical health part of it. And then in the evenings, I have now started dancing for 1 hour. And mental health, again, for mental health, I think there is exercise and there is diet. So when I talk about exercise, it's meditation. I'm going to be honest here. This is something that is very new to me. I haven't been meditating for a very long time, but I'm trying to be more regular with it. And it's definitely not easy. But my husband is pretty regular with it, and he sort of tries to push me. So that's great. And I think diet for mental health is what content you consume. It could be in any form. It could be what you watch on YouTube, Netflix. It could be the books you read. It could be the people you talk to. So just making sure that you are consuming the right content, you are reacting to the content in the right way. You know, for example, we have these great health influencers or beauty influencers on Instagram and YouTube. You could look at them and be motivated by them and be like, okay, these people have, you know, they're so healthy, they're so fit, and I'm going to work towards my body now. Or you could just, you know, cry that how do they get to be so thin and have those six pack abs, whereas I don't. So it's your choice. So, you know, consuming the right content and reacting to that content in the right way. I think that's the diet for mental health. And for my night routine, I just try to read for 30 to 45 minutes before I go to bed.
I have to get myself off mute. Yeah. Yeah, I like that nightly routine. That's something I've been trying to get myself to do instead of like watching an episode on Netflix or something, because I know it's so much less, I guess, like stimuli and blue light in your brain and like keeping you active while you're sleeping. And I know that would help me sleep much better. I sleep well now, but you can always sleep better, right? So, yeah, just something I wanted to comment. I thought that was, yeah, cool. So what kind of books do you read at night?
I really enjoy reading biographies or autobiographies. I think that's like my go-tos. I feel they're very inspirational, and I think there's always so much to learn from those books. And I like reading fiction. I used to read fiction a lot earlier. But I think right now, like these past few months, is where like autobiographies and biographies have been my thing.
So who inspires you the most?
I really enjoyed reading Steve Jobs. I think Elon Musk, I loved, absolutely loved that book. Very, very, very inspirational. Again, one of those people who loves to take challenges and risks, you know. And the third one, I would say, the Shoe Dog for Philip Knight, I think, who's the CEO of Nike, founder of Nike. And I absolutely love that book.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. I haven't read that yet, though.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool book. Yeah. I mean, you just, I think like consumers like us, we just see the brand and, you know, we just look at the cool t-shirts and the cool shoes, but there's so much that goes behind the brand and so much thought behind every single shoe. And it's not just about the colors and the, you know, the shoelace, but there's so much thought given behind every shoe. I think it's amazing to read about it.
Love it. Do you have something, Jeremy?
No, this is a great, I like this interview. It's nice. It's good. I like how open you are.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. One question I like to ask all the guests is, so if there's one message you could, you know, send to the whole world and you can kind of billboard it, doesn't have to be a whole story or anything, but if there's one message you could spread to the entire world, what would it be?
I mean, I really don't think like I'm in a position, you know, to give out like an advice or a message to the world. But I think number one is like finding your own journey and, you know, just as I said earlier, just because someone else had a journey from A to B and it worked out for them does not mean that it's going to work out for you. You know, just have your own journey, design your own journey. It's okay to, you know, take certain risks if you want to or not, you know, either of them it's amazing. Whatever works for you. I think that is number one. And I would say that, you know, keep exploring and keep growing. Like, you know, we humans tend to, you know, stay in our comfort zone as much as possible. But I think once you break that shell and you are out of your comfort zone, that's where the magic happens. And then you could be on Jeremy's and Kyle's channel.
Well, thank you for the shout out.
This has been another beautiful episode of the Social Ninjas. Thanks for coming on. Oh, where can people find you?
My Instagram handle is ravina.love.dance and my YouTube channel is Ravina Agavni.
Well, dance on. I love the world is your dance floor. Dance.
Yeah.